Welcome to Transformation with Martinet. Martinet Emmons is a transformational life coach who broke free from childhood abuse, sexual trauma, and overcame cancer to become a powerful force of healing and hope for others. Martinet describes traumatic events as fierce emotional tsunamis. They can leave impending doom and destructive tidal waves of emotions that hit you when you least expect it. Martinet helps her clients dive into the depths of their trauma and pain as she stands fiercely advocating for them to shine a light on those experiences and find the lesson in the pain. She serves as a beacon of hope that guides you to see the strength, lessons, and purpose that can be born from the pain. You can feel alive with purpose again when you awaken your dormant strength. Step into your power with a sense of peace and discover a new wave of hope with the right tools and support. Martinet and her guests are here shining their lights today through empowering stories of hardship and transformation to inspire you to find hope and to see that there is a beautiful blue ocean of serenity, happiness, and fulfillment in your future. Transformation with Martinet starts now.
Welcome, welcome everyone to Transformation with Martinet. This is where we conquer everything and compromise nothing. It's Friday. It's always a good day, and it's always a good day to share hope, which is, for those of you that don't know, my show is about hope. And the guests that I invite on are, they have stories of hope, overcoming, resilience. And I believe, and I'm proof of it myself, that we as humans are resilient and we can get back up from anything. My guest today is Paige Park, and she has been through a lot, just like me and like a lot of people that come on here. So welcome, my friend. Welcome, Paige.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here and share with you and your audience all that I have learned on my journey.
Wonderful. Wonderful. So let's start. What I want to ask you is, I know you've been through a lot. What brought you to know in life circumstances and things that happened that, well, you got to do something more. You need to make a bigger impact on this world.
I've always had that. Mm-hmm. That has something that I don't know if it's just was instilled with me, mm-hmm. with my parents. My mom and dad were beautiful people, and they gave back in a way just to humanity that was powerful. Mm-hmm. And so as a kid growing up, I watched them impact people's lives in little things that they did. My mom was a master communicator. And she would be in line at a grocery store and ask someone one question, and they would spill their life story, mm-hmm. as they're waiting in line to check out at the grocery store.
Gotcha. Yeah.
And my dad was very similar. Like, he had his own business. He was a civil engineer. So mm-hmm. he designed like roads and bridges and that kind of thing. So yeah. Nothing, just, you know, structure, societal city structure. It was mm-hmm. kind of his job.
Yeah.
And you would think that that's not that big of a thing, but I remember at his funeral or viewing, I think it was the viewing, mm-hmm. someone came up to me when a friend was like, "Hey, this person's looking for you." And this man came up, and he had worked for my dad for one summer in the mid 70s. Mm-hmm. And my father passed away 6 years ago.
Right.
So he worked one summer. That's mm-hmm. it. One summer in the mid 70s and felt the need to come to his viewing when he passed away.
Yeah.
To share his condolences. So that's the kind of impact they made in people's lives. And so I grew up, like I said, grew up watching this, mm-hmm. Became an educator. So I've worked with kids for 24 years mm-hmm. and volunteered with kids. Like, I've always kind of had this need to instill some sort of hope and impact in people, even outside of the things that I've been through.
Yeah. You know, the whole thing with your father and the funeral and the person, just met him one time. It's kind of like the Maya Angelou quote comes to me. You know, it's not what you say to people. It's like the impression. I know I'm botching it up. It's what you leave with them.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It is absolutely what you leave with them. And I've experienced that a little bit in my own life. I had a student come back. I taught at my first year teaching, I taught in Knox, Indiana, which is in the middle of nowhere in central Indiana, north central Indiana. And really small town surrounded by a lot of nothing. And I had one kid that was there for 1 year, and I was only there for 1 year. And he came back to me a few years ago, and I have made some sort of an impact. First year teacher, super green, fresh out of the gates, made some sort of impact on this kid. And it was really cool that he got back in touch with me. And was like,
absolutely.
Hey, do you remember me? And I sort of kind of remembered him a little bit, but it had been a long time ago. But yeah, it was really cool to do that.
I think teachers are just wonderful, especially at the lower grade levels. There's one I'll never forget in my own life, and there's two that I won't forget in my children's lives. You know, how they were just a beaming light of, you know, presence, and they weren't afraid of, you know, some of like, oh, don't ever hug the kids, don't ever. They didn't worry about any of that.
Yeah,
you know.
I'm appropriate, and I kind of watch myself with it, but I don't know.
Yeah. You can tell someone just needs a little love, you know? I mean, you should be able to do that. Yeah. Right.
I always ask, hey, can I give you a hug? Mm-hmm. A lot of them will just come hug me.
Yeah.
The kids.
Yeah. Especially the little ones, you know?
I teach high school and they come hug me.
That's wonderful. That's really good, because a lot of times they're a little more standoffish. And you know what's strange?
Yes.
Yeah, is that my daughter's friends were a little bit more, both my daughters were a little bit more reserved, whereas my son's friends, very warm, very, very, I don't know, just warm. I guess that's the best way to put it, more so than the girls. So I thought that was kind of different, you know?
That is just interesting.
Yeah, yeah. So your parents were already people who made a big impact. Was there, like, what comes to my mind is I didn't have the good upbringing. I had a very rough one, but I always saw, and I've said this quite a number of times on my show, that I always saw this light. I just knew that there was something that, you know, this light, I described it as almost like being in a cave, and there's like a little bit of light that's just coming through in a crack. You know, and I always saw that, and I knew I'd be okay. And I knew I would do something with my life to help and serve others. I knew that what happened to me had a bigger purpose. Did you have a moment like that, even like your own moment, without just being surrounded by your parents?
I had an opportunity. So when I first, I've had two actually of those moments in my life. I had an impact when I was in high school, because I had applied to college to become a computer programmer and had been accepted. And I was really good as a teenager. I was really good with computers. I was really good at programming. There were three of us who were the top three students in the class. And we would always like vie for who got the highest score on the test and who got their program done the most, the fastest and the most accurate. Like, so yeah. I had applied and been accepted, and then a local elementary school caught fire and they put all the kids in my high school, and I had volunteer hours I needed to get for this class. And so I took the special needs students, the mild disabilities special needs students, from their resource room to their general education classrooms. And then I got to be really close to the resource teacher, and I started volunteering during my study hall when I didn't have to, like, just because of what she was doing. And I was just fascinated by it, and went for down campus, viewed the computer science and buildings, and went to the humanities building and changed my major to education. And then after the death of my parents, I went into, I'm a yoga teacher as well. And I went into yoga teacher training with the idea of, I wanted more tools for my students in the classroom. I'm seeing such a rise in concerns with mental health that I wanted to give them more than what I had. Mm-hmm. And through a series of circumstances, ended up going through yoga teacher training, mm-hmm. which was so that I could teach mindfulness meditation, and breath was really what mm-hmm. I was looking at. So breath work, mm-hmm. mindfulness, and meditation, and ended up discovering myself again through yoga and through the yoga teacher training after the loss of my parents. Mm-hmm. A friend suggested to me, hey, you should teach grief yoga. And so I started teaching almost a year ago. I started teaching grief yoga classes.
Yeah.
That has been just a huge impact. And yoga was that light for me mm-hmm. in a time when I lost myself in caring for my parents. Mm-hmm. I lost myself in my marriage because right before my parents passed away, or right before my parents were sick and I was kind of thrown into that, I got divorced. And so through all of those, like rediscovering who I am and my true light and being and purpose, and all of that beautiful stuff came in through practices of yoga.
Mm-hmm.
And it really came to light even bigger when I went through yoga teacher training.
I've really heard that. Yoga is never something I've really gotten into except for poses, just to stretch my body.
Mm-hmm.
But it's never really something I've gotten into, but I have heard that it's a salvation to many.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Just to relax, to, find more meaning.
Find more meaning. And it's a connection within yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So finding that, and that's what I do for my clients. I help them. I'm a guide. Mm-hmm. I help them reconnect with who they are inside and what their purpose is and what their being wants to be.
Right.
Just through the physical movement, through the breath, through the meditation, through mm-hmm. themes and concepts and ideas.
So do you talk through, like, do you try to connect, like, is it more of a one-on-one or do you have a class?
I have class.
It's just how you talk?
It's how I talk. I had a client, so I can share a story from this week if you'd like
sure.
to hear one.
Yeah.
I had a client the other day. So in my grief classes, everything is themed around like grief and coping with grief mm-hmm. and grief is not one of those things that ever goes away, but you learn to lean into it and yep. you learn to grow around it. And so you become bigger. The grief never becomes bigger. It doesn't get smaller. You just become bigger and okay. you have a bigger capacity to hold it.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the things I've learned through that is my theme this week was to be softer.
Mm. Nice.
And sometimes leaning into, instead of being hard and developing a shell and walls, when we actually get softer and a little mushier, then we allow the grief to come to the surface as it needs to.
I like that.
And I had a client was like, wait, you just completely broke everything that I thought that I needed to be. Because I've tried to be hard and prickly and put up walls and you're sitting here telling me to be softer.
Oh, it's kind of hard if you're, I've had a few guests, not many on grief, but I know grief myself well. And there are times where you just want to have those walls because you just yeah. don't want to feel it anymore.
Yeah, mm. there are. But the more you feel it, mm-hmm. the easier it is to feel. Even though it doesn't feel like it's going to be that way.
Right. Oh, I agree with you. I agree
with
you.
It's not easy work.
Easy work. And it kind of, it's making, I heard a really good, it was probably, she's probably about 12 years old. This person, she had lost her mom. And she said that grief never goes away, but you make a place for it. I thought that was really beautiful. Profound for 12.
Yeah.
And I've just thought about that a lot myself. Yes. I've made a place for, you know, my mom, my brother and sister being gone, you know, just yeah. you make a place for that. So we need to take a break, but I would love to go back more into that, yeah, like
absolutely.
Letting yourself feel, Well, yeah, let's just go with that. Letting yourself feel. We'll be right back, everyone. Thank you so much for tuning in.
Are you ready to get big and live your life out loud? Tune in to Get Big Out Loud Radio, exploring life through the lens of curiosity and compassion. With me, Carrie Knudsen, joining Dr. Pat live every second Monday at 10 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. I will offer ideas to transform what you are thinking into conscious action. If you want to get big and live your life out loud, visit me at KnudsenSpeaks.com.
Are you ready for the real results you want? Don't miss the new show, Why Wait? Look better, feel better, be your best from the inside out with me, Georgette LePage. Join Dr. Pat Basile and me monthly to tackle topics that are often seen as roadblocks to weight loss. Each discussion offers you practical solutions for your transformational changes. Find out more about show dates and times or connect with me directly at georgettelepage.com.
Welcome back, everyone, to Transformation with Martinet. This is where we conquer everything and compromise nothing. My guest today is Paige Park, and she has a program, Tulsi Yoga, that is for grief. And we were talking about on the break last time about, well, a lot of us, and I could just speak for myself at the moment, that there are times where I don't want to feel anything. There were times when I was going through the grief, the loss of my mom, brother, and sister, that you just kind of got to manage. You've got to go through the motions. You have to get everything done. I was in charge of all of it for all three. So you really can't let yourself, you can't let the guard down, you know, but there is a time where you have to let the walls down. You do have to sit in it, let yourself become softer, as you were talking about, Paige. Yeah. So what brought you to this point of, we've talked about a little bit about your parents, but what happened and what brought you to, not your friend just suggesting yoga, but you knew you needed to do this.
Knowing I needed, yeah. Mm-hmm. About 5 months after I was divorced 9 years ago, mm-hmm. and about 5 months after my divorce was final, my mom was diagnosed with a glioblastoma multiforme. It's a very fast growing, fast moving type of brain tumor that has fingers, and the fingers stick into the brain tissue. And so they can't, because it's not like a solid ball, they can't get all of it when they do a resection surgery. So she had, on October 10th of that year, she had her resection surgery. She went through radiation fairly soon after, like when she was recovered enough to go through radiation. Mm-hmm. And that was done by that Christmas. By the following July, she was gone. And so you talked about taking care of all of the things. Mm-hmm. I did too. Mm-hmm. As stuff came up with my mom and dad, I'm the only girl. And I don't know if it's the only girl or the teacher thing or like that combination. Mm-hmm. But I saw that things needed to be done, or just the way I see the world. It could also be that I saw that things needed to be done and I just picked them up and did them.
Yeah.
And I didn't ask for a lot of help, especially from my brothers. Mm-hmm. And I could have, especially the one that's, I have two older brothers. Mm-hmm. And the one that's closer in age to me, like I could have easily asked him to do things and I just didn't, because it felt easier to just do it myself and not have to explain what to do.
Right.
And so my father had been diagnosed with Parkinson's disease shortly after he retired, which had been several years prior to my mom's mm-hmm. diagnosis and surgery. And so mom was dad's caregiver.
Right.
And he had different things that he went to and therapies and stuff that were already in place for him. So that also needed to be dealt with while mom was going through her illness and all of the things that went with that. And I remember a lot of times, but there's one in particular, I believe it was in January. It was either, I'm pretty sure it was Martin Luther King Day, actually, because I was off school and I had some sort of appointment, and my, My mom had been in the hospital shortly after her last radiation appointment. She went downhill really fast and spent 2 weeks in the hospital recovering from the strain, I think, that it put on her body. Mm-hmm. And in the process of this, my father, as stubborn as the day is long. I'm sure many can relate. Their fathers are probably the same. He would refuse to use his walker. Mm-hmm. And he wrapped himself around a kitchen chair in my parents' they had an eat-in kitchen. So yeah. In their eat-in kitchen, he wrapped himself around a kitchen chair, broke, I don't know how many, I can't remember how many exactly, multiple ribs, at least 4, maybe 5. So a lot of ribs. Yeah. And he's curled up. I go to visit mom and he's curled up on the sofa in her room, just moaning in agony.
Oh.
And so we end up convincing him to go to the ER. They do an x-ray and find out he's got multiple ribs broken. He's in one room. He's 2 floors above her, same hospital. She's on one floor. He's on another. The boys and I are going back and forth, going to see both. They both end up in rehab like at the same time and were arguing. There were so many things that kind of went with this. So, you know, there's the grief of, hey, my mom's going to probably die from this. Mm-hmm. But then also, here's all of the other things that are kind of going along with it. And you, after a while, you just start shoving it down because you're dealing with this situation in front of you. And I did that for 3 years. Mm-hmm. And occasionally, like if something really bubbled up to the surface and I had to feel it, I would. But for the most part, I was just like, nope, we're going to shove. Because, you know, mom dies and dad still has an infection that they can't figure out what it is. And so he's in a rehab facility getting IV antibiotics, and we're going to specialists and doctors and all of these kinds of things. But my mom just passed away. But we have all of this other stuff with dad to deal with.
Yeah.
And so that was 3 years of my life. And it took me a lot. My nervous system was a hot mess at the end of those 3 years.
Gosh, I imagine.
I ended up with diagnosed with diverticulitis because I wasn't digesting food properly and it was like getting stuck in my intestines, and I know it was from stress,
right?
Like it had all built up. Like I was diagnosed with high blood pressure, again stress, it had all built up. And then I was responsible for mom and dad's estate and getting all of that taken care of. And then 2 years. So my mom passed away. And then 2 years later, my dad passed away. And then 2 years after my dad passed away, my brother passed away. In my grief classes, we call that grief cakes. I call it grief cakes because we just mash the grief together into a cake.
Yeah.
My brother and I was lead on my brother's estate, and my other brother helped a lot with that. Like I couldn't have done that stuff without him.
Yeah.
And so it was this just compounded over time, and my body's a hot mess. Mm-hmm. I was powerlifting at the time. So I liked lifting heavy things. It was good for getting a little bit of out.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it was becoming stressful as well. And a friend of mine, I was getting some energy work done from a friend, and she said, hey, why don't you look at doing something that's a little slower, maybe some yoga? Mm-hmm. And I had practiced yoga before. It had been in and out of my life. Hadn't made a really big impact at that point. And so my school started offering yoga classes through this local studio, and I started going.
Mm-hmm.
They saved me. Those classes saved me. I got back in touch with myself. I got back in touch with how to regulate my nervous system,
mm-hmm.
how to bring things kind of back to a rest and digest state,
mm-hmm.
how to calm myself when I was feeling all anxious. It took a while. Of course, you know, I didn't get there overnight. It was
sure.
6 years of all of the things. And so I didn't get back to a homeostasis kind of place overnight, but over time, I began to feel more myself. And that's when I got to, that yoga teacher is the one who encouraged me to do my yoga teacher training.
Mm-hmm.
And so then, and I started feeling all of the grief, and it came little bits at a time, because when you shove grief down, it does pop back up. Sometimes it comes back in physical symptoms.
Yep.
Sometimes it comes back up in, you feel the emotions when you least expect it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I began feeling the emotions as they would come up. And it comes in waves. I'm sure you're familiar with this. Mm-hmm. And there are occasions where you just feel completely overwhelmed by the emotion of it. And those were the moments I learned to pause and to just let it wash over me.
Mm-hmm.
And the more I let it wash over me, and that's really hard to describe how to do that. But the more I learned to wash over it, let it wash over me, and learn to just sit in that,
mm-hmm.
recognize it, acknowledge the feeling,
mm-hmm.
not necessarily naming it, but I see you, I feel you, I understand you're my grief.
Yeah.
And just allowing the presence of mind for it to just be there for the however long it lasts. Sometimes it's 3 or 4 minutes, sometimes it's 10, 20, sometimes it's a day, just depends.
Yeah.
And then those times became smaller and smaller and smaller the more I just allowed it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I have quite a few things I could say, but one of them, what comes to my mind right away is I have a friend who, her husband passed away a little over a year ago, and what she does is, you know, she's a pretty powerful leader in her field. She takes moments, special ones, like memories, times of, you know, that's going to come around a year later, these moments. And she'll take time, like, okay, well, I'm going to give myself this weekend.
Yeah.
I can do whatever I want this weekend. I can cry all day. I can stay in bed all day. I can do anything I want. And then when it's over, I'm done.
Yeah.
And then if I need more time, I'll get it. But she won't. She will let herself feel everything, and then she'll come back out. And I know one of the things that I remember, there was a lot of turmoil going on at this one point, but my daughter was graduating kindergarten, and they played this song. Do you remember the one? As a teacher, you probably do. I Hope You Dance.
Yeah.
Oh God, that one would just tear me apart. And I remember being in the audience there, and everything just wanted to come. And I'm like, no, please, no. And I want to be embarrassed by it. And I remember doing this so many times in my life. And then becoming a coach and going through a lot of trainings, I would see people they could just express themselves completely, whether it was grief, whether it was sadness, whether it was just whatever it was, they could get it out. And I could not, because of years of this.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was an incident, leaving my son at the airport. And that's a big old long story, but leaving him, and it's just like things broke. It was like, oh my gosh, I guess my body was ready for it. Mm-hmm. Not the greatest place at the airport, but
yeah, you know, it comes when it comes.
Ride the whole time at the airport, on the flights, my husband picks me up there, go to a restaurant, through the whole dinner, you know, whatever. And then ever since then, it's just like things just kind of pop up and we go, you know, I mean, it's good to feel those. It's good to feel those things. And then there are times where you just can't, but then you got to give yourself that time.
Yeah, you know, you make space for it mm-hmm. when you can. There are some times where I've been known at school, if something pops up for me, I'll go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
If I've got a class, I'll get someone to cover my class. I'll go to the bathroom. I'll take 5 minutes if I need it, or 10. Yep. And if I can't pull myself together, I may find a way to go home.
Right. That's really good that you honor yourself that way.
Yeah. And that's the more beautiful. That I found that I do that, the more that I do that, the easier it is.
I will agree with that for sure. Not like I used to do was the, oh, no, please, no.
Right.
Just let it happen. Whoever sees me sees me, and whatever they feel is fine. They can deal with that on their own.
Well, and that's their problem. I'm just saying, that's their problem. That's not mine.
Exactly. And so we're going to take a break and we'll come back. Before we do though, Paige, where can everybody find you? I know it's up there and available, but.
It is. I am at www.tulsi, and that's T-U-L-S-I, roseyoga.com. And my socials, I'm on Instagram and Facebook, all of the places, not TikTok, but all the other places. And you can find me through Tulsi Rose Yoga there.
Yeah, it's such a beautiful name, but we'll talk about that when we come back.
Yes, we will.
All right. Thank you, everyone. We'll be back in just a few.
In body, in power, in soul. Activate the spirit within you in deep conversations of power, faith, grace, love, and forgiveness. On Soul Inspired Reflections, Ascension, a humble awakening of the heart. Join me, your host, Gina Libido, every second Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. And find that even the chaos of your world makes sense and has meaning and purpose. Make a choice, be inspired, take action. For more information, go to soulinspired.org. That's soul-inspired.org.
Tune in to Reinventing You with me, Danielle Silverman, on the second and fourth Monday each month at 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. In today's world of ever-constant evolution, the only career change that matters is when what you do matches who you are. On Reinventing You, you'll find concrete tools to help you embrace change and feel optimistic and inspired about your future. It's your vision, your life. Be passionate about it.
Welcome back, everyone, to Transformation with Martinet. And Paige was just showing us her sweet little dog. And, you know, I've heard a lot of people say that we as humans don't really deserve dogs in a way. You know, I mean, they are so loving, so kind, so warm, and nothing better when you're going through a time is there to have your little pup.
There is nothing better. Actually, I had two dogs. My other dog passed away about a month ago, right before I moved.
Oh.
And he was the dog that went through everything with me. He was about one and a half to two when my divorce was fine, when I separated from my ex-husband. Mm-hmm. And so he went through the death of both of my parents and this whole evolution of my life with me.
Gosh, I haven't lost a dog yet. That she's my first. So I know 14 years old, I know it's coming.
Yeah. He was 12.
Yeah. So before we went on break, we mentioned the name of your company, Tulsi Rose. How did you come about that?
It's funny. I sat in meditation and was looking for inspiration because I played around with some other names and they just weren't hitting for me.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden the thought came to me because I also include in my in-person classes and workshops and events, I include herbal teas and am eventually, it hasn't been accessible to me just yet for time, but I will eventually pursue an herbalist program.
Ooh, nice.
And so because of this education and introduction to herbs and being an herbalist and including this, it came to me in meditation that to look at plants that were high vibrating and plants that were highly medicinal. And so Tulsi is also known as holy basil, which you can find often in teas. And there is a holy basil. There are a few brands that have holy basil tea. If you ever want to try it, it's delicious. I love it.
Yeah.
It's really good mixed with rose. And I often use actually the two of them together as a base for other things that I put with it. So
awesome.
Yeah. So that is where it came from.
That's very cool. So your friend suggested this to you and you've done yoga before and all that. How did it feel when she said it? Kind of like,
My immediate reaction was absolutely not. No, that was my first, that was my instinct. That was my response.
Yeah.
And at that point, like I said, it was about a year ago. I've been on this healing learning myself the journey for a while now. Mm-hmm. And I know when I have that, oh my gosh, no response, that it's either a legit no, mm-hmm. or it's a protective no. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that it is really something that I need to do. And so the more I leaned into the idea and the more I investigated it, the more I went, oh shoot, I have to teach grief yoga.
Yeah.
And now it's, I love, it is my favorite class. I love to teach grief yoga. I've got this beautiful community of humans that trust me and come to class with me. And they're just the sweetest people. And they love each other. And it's this space and container, like out in society, and you talked about this a couple of times, mm-hmm. it's not always accepted when we fully grieve mm-hmm. and express our grief.
Yeah.
But this is a container where that's welcome.
Mm-hmm.
And you can come no matter what's going on in your life and in your world. I actually taught a class the day my dog died.
Mm.
It was an hour and a half before I had to be there that I found him. And
oh,
yeah, I know, right? I came home and he was gone and I had to be in class in an hour and a half. And it wasn't enough time in my mind to cancel.
Mm-hmm.
And so I showed up. And I was like, this is what I told the girls. I was like, this is what happened. This is where I am. And they said, why are you here? And I said, it was too late to cancel. Otherwise I would have.
Yeah.
There wasn't time to give you enough notice. And there's a couple of them. I don't have their number. So I couldn't have texted them.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, we're going to do it. We're going to have class. I said, I'm not quite sure what's going to come out today. I don't know what this class is going to be like. What I'm told me was one of the most powerful classes I've ever taught. I don't even remember what I said.
Well, it's very brave of you. I mean, there's no doubt about it. Very brave. Yeah.
But, and that's, the more that I show up in this work, mm-hmm. the more beautiful that it is and that it becomes. Yeah. And
yeah. Because it's like grief and so many parts of our lives are really messy, but it is what connects us.
Mm-hmm.
It's the perfection and all this. Oh, I've got to do this perfect or I can't show up to class because I might be a mess myself. That is more of a disconnecting thing.
Yeah.
You know, if we're real and vulnerable, like I know you were, I'm sure that it was actually well received.
Oh, it was. And they're just lovely people. They're so sweet. We do spinal twists oftentimes toward the end of class, and they're usually fairly close together. So when they'll stretch their arms out
mm-hmm.
In the twist, and they're close enough that they can see, grab each other, mm-hmm. and they hold each other's arms when they're in their spinal twist. I have a picture. I've posted it recently in social media of four of them stretched out, and you can see their hands kind of grabbing each other's arms,
nice.
Just lovingly in this. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they started doing that themselves.
I love that.
And it's so sweet because I see them in class as they do that, reaching for each other because they've become such a support system in their lives because they're all grieving something.
Right. Mm. I think I, not now so much, but a while back, I might've been afraid of that.
Yeah.
You know, I might've been afraid to go in there and I don't know. I guess it's probably would be easier to let down my guard when there's people that are the same as me.
Yeah.
You know,
it's very intimate. It's one of the most intimate classes I teach.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just because of the nature of it.
Mm. Wow. So for someone who has gone through and lost a lot of people, what would you say to somebody who, and you know, I'm grateful to have this platform because there are more people like you and me than
mm-hmm.
some people realize.
Yeah, absolutely.
Lost as much as we have, siblings, parents, all that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad to have this platform. And what would you, I mean, you offer already something, a platform of your own. What would you say to somebody who is a little newer than we are on this journey?
Learn to lean into the grief earlier than we did.
Mm. Yeah.
You'll save yourself in the long run.
Mm-hmm.
Make time and space for it, even if you have to take time off work.
Right. Right.
I had a student pass away this past spring. Just tragically, suddenly in a car accident.
Oh my gosh.
And quickly. The car crashed and he was gone within a few hours. And I watched these kids, and these are the tough kids.
Yeah.
These are the ones that don't always let anybody in. Mm-hmm. Just unabashedly, unashamed, grieve their friend openly in front of people. And it's one of the most beautiful things that I've ever seen. And so I would say, never be ashamed of your grief. Allow it to be as it is. You will find your tribe. There are people who will accept it. And if there are people that are uncomfortable, know that it is their problem, not yours.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, I want to say, and I know even our producer, Jacob, we've talked about it, you know, he's younger. And then like my son, he just turned 18. It's, I think the generations, it's getting a little more accepting.
Mm-hmm. It is.
I think for more my age, maybe yours, it not as much, but now it seems to be a little bit more, even with boys, men.
Yeah, it is. It is.
Yeah. And that I'm grateful for that.
Yeah. And these were boys. These are tough. Mm-hmm. I've gotten in fights. I've gotten in trouble at school.
Yep.
Who just
that's good to
openly
know.
Openly sobbing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It was beautiful.
Yeah. Cause it's, you know, that's something that everybody male, it doesn't matter. We should be able to express ourselves in every way that comes up. You know, because you of course more healthy if you're not holding all this stuff in.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
Otherwise it turns to anger and other things and affects your whole physical well-being anyway.
Yeah.
Your body.
It turns to anger. It turns to walls. It turns to prickly. It turns to physical ailments, mental health problems. Any of that can be rooted in stuffing your feelings and emotions.
Absolutely. So before we take a break again, where can everyone find you?
Again, you can find me at www.TulsiRoseYoga.com. And I do offer virtual classes as well as in person.
Oh, that's cool. And you're in Indiana, right?
I am. I'm in Indiana.
Yeah. Awesome. You're actually only about, 3.5 hours from me? Something like that. I'm in Michigan.
Oh, yeah. Where in Michigan?
Clinton Township right now.
Okay.
We might be moving back to where we came from, which was Fenton, which is another hour, like an hour from where I am now, back to this more of a smaller town.
Smaller
it's
town.
Really busy over here, but I'm about maybe 45 minutes from Detroit, 40, 45.
Okay. Yeah. 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 Detroit's like three and a half, 4 hours.
Yeah. That would be fun sometime. Yeah. So we'll be right back, everyone, for more transformational talk. Thank you.
In our world today, we are often weighed down by pain, sorrow, insecurity, and complicated feelings of self. What if you could turn that pain into power? Join me, Christine Vibrant, on Waking Hope, a powerful show about nurturing healing and opportunity to find your purpose and better me empowered lives. Streaming live on the 2nd and 4th Thursdays of every month at 8 a.m. Pacific Time on Transformation Talk Radio. I look forward to seeing you there.
Are you living life in full expression? Join me, Beth Wolf, on Life in Full Expression each Monday at noon Pacific Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com. To learn how to explore, elevate, expand, and live your best life, discover the 7 dimensions of life blueprint of expression. Get ready to fully express, develop your limitless capacity, and experience amazement to become an igniter and inspire. Visit BethWolf.com to discover the dynamic coaching of life in full expression.
Welcome back, everyone. This is where we conquer everything and compromise nothing. Paige Park is my guest today, and her business is Tulsi Rose Yoga. And she teaches grief yoga. And we were just talking about emotions, and she's got a story for us.
I mentioned a little bit ago that I moved. Mm-hmm. So I was living in a 1600 square foot house, and that was actually a little bit of a downsize from the one before. So before that, I was living in about 1800 square feet. Uh-huh. I had to get rid of a few things when I moved, but not a lot.
Yeah.
And after my parents passed away, my brother and I just kind of took on a lot of their stuff because we didn't know what to do with it. Mm-hmm. And so I had all of these things that have been sitting in boxes or storage or on shelves that were mom and dad's. And now I've moved into 300 square feet.
Yeah. That is quite the downsize.
It has been quite the journey. And it's been a very emotional journey, and there's been a lot of physical letting go and a lot of emotional letting go as well, which has been really interesting. And so the house that I moved out of, I owned, so I sold that house and I'm currently renting because I needed more mobility in my life. One of the things that I see coming in my business, not quite there yet, but I'm getting there, is that I want to travel and teach others how to teach what I teach. So how to teach grief yoga and the way that I teach it. And so I want that ability to not have a large place to take care of. And it was becoming a burden to take care of my house. Mm-hmm. And so decided to sell, decided to downsize. And the day we closed, I had moved on Saturday. This was a Monday. So I'd moved on Saturday fully. I'd moved a little bit, some remaining things on Sunday. And then Monday, I was getting the rest of the house. When I started my in-person business, I used part of my basement to hold classes. And I had to take all of that down. And so that was really emotional because that's where I started my business. That's where I started doing in-person classes. There was a lot of blood, sweat, and tears that went into creating the space that I used. And at one point I was in pain. My knees hurt bad from going up and down the stairs. So it was a two-story house and it had a basement. So stairs, and then up and down the ladder because I was taking down like the ceiling, and I had twinkle lights and a cloth ceiling up in the basement where the yoga space was. And so I'm like up and down the stairs and I'm up and down the ladder and up and down the stairs and up and down the ladder. I'm in pain and I'm tired and I'm cranky. And I was super emotional because I'd made 3 or 4 trips, I think, that weekend to charity to drop things off.
Right.
I had sold all of my furniture that I wasn't donating. And I sit down on the steps and I just started sobbing. And about that time, my realtor texted me something, and he's a friend.
Uh-huh.
And, I replied to whatever it was. And then I said to myself, I was like, okay, I need to let him know what's going on. Mm-hmm. And I sent him a message, and because he'll give me a kind of a hard time. And I said, don't mess with me today. I'm like, this is what I need from you. I need you to not mess with me today. And he said, well, what's going on? And I said, well, I'm an emotional mess right now. I think that's what I said. Mm-hmm. And I'm processing a lot, and I just need you to just not do anything today. Yeah. No, don't joke around with me. Just let me be.
Yeah.
And he says, as your friend and as your realtor, I need to ask, are you ready to close on this today? Like, do we need to postpone? And I'm like, oh, no, we're closing.
Yeah.
Just know that this is what you're getting today. And he's like, okay. So we're sitting in closing and he's sitting next to me. He keeps looking over at me going, are you okay? Are you all right? Are you sure you're okay? And I'm like, I'm just emotional. It's okay. Just let me be in it.
Yeah.
And he, at, after a couple of times of telling him this, I said, I'm going to be fine. Just let me sit in this. I need to sit in it. And he said, you know, we just don't do that with our emotions. People are just really uncomfortable with it. And I said, yeah, I'm really aware of that.
Yep.
But he did. He let me, and it was cool that he recognized that we don't often do that. And he's like, right. That's really, he was like, that. Finally, he's like, that's really cool that you're doing that.
Yeah, because we don't.
We don't. We don't acknowledge it. We just shove it down and refuse to look at it. And I was like, just, I'm fine. Just let me be. Just let me sit in this and it'll be okay. Because I was processing and letting go and processing and letting go. And it just, it was a lot. And it was overwhelming.
It is. And that's kind of cool, though, you know, just the whole thing of him being uncomfortable and telling you, like, I know what you're doing, but I'm kind of like, can we be done?
He was very cringy.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Yeah. But that's good. And Mom, how do you feel now, though? Do you have some work to do? But
I still have some work to do, but physically and emotionally, I've also been participating in a business mastermind this last year. Uh-huh. And we had our final retreat started. So I moved Saturday, closed on the house Monday, left for Colorado on Thursday. And we had our final retreat with a brand photo shoot. Uh-huh. And there was, by the time I got to the brand photo shoot, like I had let go of so much. It was one of the most incredible experiences I've ever had. And it was fun to have a photo shoot where you've got like a cheering section going, yeah, go, you're a goddess. Like it was the coolest thing. But there was a lot of shedding that led up to that point. And even when I got to Colorado, there was still some more, and there's still more coming up. I'm still letting go of things as I unpack.
Yeah.
I've already taken one more load to charity as I've unpacked my house because.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. Isn't it interesting though? It's like, I know when we moved here a little over a year ago to this house, we got rid of a lot of things. And then it's kind of, you start going through things and it's like, well, why did I hold on to this? I still have three of this or two of that. And, you know, why am I doing this? But once you like let it go, this is like a freeing inside.
It's so freeing. And it's so funny because once I started letting stuff go, then it was really easy to let more stuff go.
Yeah. It's that start. And it's almost like, whoa, okay, let's do some more. This feels pretty good.
It does. Yeah. It was that first, it took a little bit, but then once I started, it was like, oh my gosh, I'm clearing. And the mental clutter became so much less.
Yeah.
And life is getting so much simpler.
Mm-hmm.
And the simpler things get and the less stuff that I have, the more clear mentally I'm becoming and just seeing that connection, it's really cool.
I feel that. Like I can feel that from you, that energy from you. I feel that. That's really good. So we have just a minute left of the show. What would you like to impart on everybody listening today?
Feel your feelings, my friends. Mm-hmm. Just allow things to be. And the more we do that for each other, the more society will be okay with it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So one more time, where can everybody find you?
You can find me at Tulsi, T-U-L-S-I, roseyoga.com or that name through almost any form of social media.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. I thank you, Paige, so much. This
thank
was really,
so
really good. Very oh, good information.
Pleasure. Yeah.
Yeah. Not only on grief, but just letting go overall, you know, and stepping into our truer selves by letting go and feeling who we are. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Thank you for having me. This has been wonderful.
Absolutely. And thank you so much, everyone, for tuning in. Please come back next Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern for more stories of overcoming and the resilience of the human spirit. Thank you, everyone. Bye.
Thank you for listening to Transformation with Martinet. Did listening today spark a sense of hope and possibility? Hold on to this feeling and tune in every second and fourth Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific for more inspiring conversations with Martinet and her guests. They will show you there is hope and you are right where you need to be. Martinet is dedicated to supporting you right where you are while launching you towards promise, passion, and possibility that leads to the fulfilled life your heart aches for. If you're tired of being stuck, schedule a complimentary consultation with Martinet and get on the exciting path towards the life you want to be living. Visit martinetemmons.com and make your appointment today.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.